Hello and welcome to Knit Spirit. I'm your host, Ivy Reisner, and this is episode 69, Counting. On this show, I sometimes talk about Grace, and she's my guardian angel. And hopefully, this has happened invisibly. Hopefully, I haven't completely spammed somebody's podcatcher, but I've moved all the files to a new hosting server. If everything went as expected, you shouldn't have noticed the difference. If something has happened oddly and I've suddenly sent 68 prior episodes down to you, I apologize. If I've sent a link to you in the past, a ping back, that would have gone out again. I couldn't control that. So sorry about that. The upside of this is the new host has some very cool development tools. I have to finish edits on a novel that I'm working on, but I've been working on a web application. This will be more of an interest to the writers, the people who listen to the writing cast, than to the knitters, but I've got a web application that should be of interest to them, particularly science fiction, fantasy, and horror writers coming up pretty soon. And I'm going to be trying to get together some new web content. I'm sort of working backwards. I want to do a wiki, but I don't know what kind of a wiki I want to do. It seems sort of wrong to cast around for a problem that a technology can solve, but that's sort of where I am right now. I'm looking for something to be doing with all these development tools. They're kind of cute. I'm about halfway done with that baby blanket. I think I've mentioned I'm a very slow knitter sometimes, and it's coming along pretty well. It's a very basic pattern, knits and purls, nothing more than that. I think it's kind of cool because I've been teaching my boyfriend how to knit, and this is a pattern that would totally be up his alley. It's little bits of garter stitch, strips of garter stitch that are surrounding windows of stockinette, and nothing more than that. Really simple, really cute, really fun. I'm having a good time with it just because I need that kind of a grunge knitting project right now while my brain is all wrapped up around the novel and all of the stuff around that. So I just knit and think, wow, what would the character do now? I ran an article on casting on and casting off in pattern on my blog. That's at kehinde.com/blog. I'm going to link to it in the show notes. I have flown against common wisdom on this for a while, but to me, the cast on row is a row. It should be counted as a row. If you have to cast on, knit 10 rows of stockinette, do this thing, knit 10 rows of stockinette, do this thing. Well, if you cast on and then go for, especially if you're using a really bulky yarn, and then go for 10 rows, you really have consumed as much yarn as would take 11 rows, and you have knit a piece that is as large as 11 rows. Now, if you're doing something in fingering yarn, a size 1 needles, that does not matter. If you're using size 19 and a lopey yarn, that's going to make a difference. So I've held to that for a bit of a while, and I talk about my arguments when that row should count and when it shouldn't and why I think this is the case on the blog. I think you'd find it interesting. I picked up that knit kit that everybody's been talking about. It's the all-in-one little oval. I think it's really clever, and it seems sturdy enough to me. I was kind of worried about that, but it's been holding together remarkably well. It has a yarn cutter and scissors. Okay, a bit redundant. If you have the scissors, you don't need the thread cutter, but let's let that go. It has a tape measure. The one thing I've learned, don't baby the tape measure. I tried to control the feedback once, you know, to push the button and hang onto it a little so it doesn't shoot back, and it didn't retract all the way. So I pulled it back out. I pushed the button to make it retract, and I let it shoot as fast as it wanted to. And sure enough, that worked just fine. So just let it do its thing, and it's fine. It has a really nice locking row counter, and I love that. It has a bowed crochet hook, which is a very smart addition. It has locked round stitch markers, and it has point protectors, and I'm tweaking it just a little bit. I'm putting in split ring markers and a darning needle and taking out the point protectors. I can see why they were included. Many people, and almost all beginning knitters, find point protectors to be useful. Knitters who are smart enough not to want their needles poking holes in their bag find them useful. I generally knit socks, so I use a DPN tube, and the rest of the time I don't worry about puncturing my bag until I've already done so. I know the stitches won't just pop off the needle, so I really don't bother. Although when I was still trying to avoid buying a size 2.5 circular And so I was knitting that sloth hat on 16-inch DPNs. I did try a trick with point protectors where I would cap every end but the two I was using to keep, just to keep the stitches from falling off. And that didn't work too well. The needles were so cramped, the stitches just pushed the point protectors right off anyway. And eventually, of course, I broke down and ordered that Cirque. I used that trick when I first learned how to knit socks on DPNs. I was so scared that they were just going to fall off the other side that I just sort of like put them on like training wheels on every point except for the ones in use. And I think I made it a good inch to an inch and a half working ribbing on possibly size zeros or size ones before I just got annoyed with the whole process and ditched the point protector training wheels. I've encountered a lot of cute tricks lately on counting knitting. As I said, I still contest that the cast on row is in fact a row. I think I covered that actually in a show back in August of last year. I'll link to it in the show notes. The first cool trick I found was for double-sided knitting, where it looks the same on both sides. Hang a split ring marker from the right side. The lady at my local yarn store uses a safety pin and actually hangs her row counter from the right side, which I thought was really clever. If you try the trick of putting stitch markers every so many stitches on the cast on row, and you have an enormous cast on row, put a different color one every 100 or 500 stitches. If you need to mark something with a different color stitch marker, but you only brought your knit kit with you so you don't have any different colors, use two instead. If you have to knit for a large number of rows, hang a split ring marker at even intervals, every 10 rows, 20, 25, whatever makes sense to you. It'll keep you from having to recount and recount and recount. If you use a row counter that doesn't lock, especially if you're knitting lace, when you put your work away, write down the number you're on. I've gotten into many situations where I've done what I think to be about 40 rows or so of lace, and I've gone back to my row counter and found it at 96. Decide once and forever if you're going to update your counter at the end of the row or when you start the next. This only matters if you're going to put it down for a spell, and then you have to decide when you pick it up if you need to update the row counter and then knit, or knit knowing the counter was updated. And you can ask me why this and the trick about interim markers came about with instructions that called for knitting 220 rows of ribbing. Marking the right side might have helped, but I didn't think of it when I started. Also for lace, I can't get those magnetic chart holders to keep my place well. The magnets slip. They hold a chart well enough, but they don't mark the line. And I've known a number of knitters that have complained of the same thing. My solution is pencil highlighters. Levengers has them. Art supply places have them. They come in a few colors. I've seen yellow, pink, blue, green, orange, maybe one or two more. You need a special sharpener for them, and those are available wherever the pencils are sold. They're just fatter. And the great thing is you can mark your row. You can still see what was going on before to line things up. And if you only need to tink a few rows, you can erase the highlighter. This I like. A friend who'd forgotten any writing instruments and wanted to knit on the bus used her needle to tap holes in the chart next to the row she'd finished. I don't think that would have worked if she didn't have very sharp lace knitting needles, but she did, and it did. We're coming on an interesting day in the Jewish liturgical calendar, and that's the Lag BaOmer. It comes on the 33rd day of the Omer counting, which this year falls on May 12th. Now, a quick aside on the Omer. For Judaism, it all starts and ends with Torah. And this season we're in starts with Passover. We're freed from slavery. Our children, whom the Pharaoh would kill, are safe. We've become a chosen people. As an aside to the aside, the idea of being the chosen of a deity was pretty common back then. Redheads, for example, were considered Set's chosen in Egypt. Anyway, all this great stuff has happened during the Exodus, but it's all just prelude. Now, at the Seder, we sing Dayenu, which means it would have sufficed us, and we list each blessing in order and saying that each alone would have been enough. Had he taken us from Egypt but not led us to the Red Sea, it would have sufficed us. Had he led us to the Red Sea but not split the waters, it would have sufficed us. Had he split the waters, you get the idea. And really, and any Jew will tell you this, that's not entirely true. For the Jew, it is all about the Torah. The rest is window dressing. The Torah is where it's really at. The truth is, Had he not given us a land, not freed us from slavery, not chosen us as his people, not performed miracles for us, but had only given us the Torah, Dayenu, it would have sufficed us. Of course, this is the season when all good Jews are talking about counting days specifically. The Exodus is done. It was commemorated with Passover. And now we're waiting for the grand finale, the celebration at Sinai Shavuot. And we count down the days, 49 total, until the commemoration of Sinai on the 50th. Now, I'm recording this in the evening of May 7th, and I'm going to do the whole blessing associated with the counting of days. Now, I think it's kind of interesting, and it starts off, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and has commanded us to count the Omer. Today is 29 days, which is 4 weeks and 1 day of the Omer. May the Merciful One restore unto us the service of the Beit HaMikdash to its place speedily in our days. Amen. Selah. For the choir master, a song with instrumental music, a psalm. May God be gracious to us and bless us. May he make his countenance shine upon us forever, that your way be known upon the earth, your salvation among all nations. The nations will extol you, O God, all the nations will extol you. The nations will rejoice and sing for joy. For you will judge the peoples justly and guide the nations on earth forever. The peoples will extol you, O God, all the people will extol you. For the earth will have yielded its produce, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us and all from the farthest corner of the earth shall fear him. We implore you, by the great power of your right hand, release the captive. Accept the prayer of your people. Strengthen us, purify us, awesome one, mighty one. We beseech you. Guard as the apple of the eye those who seek your oneness. Bless them, cleanse them. Bestow upon them forever your merciful righteousness. Powerful Holy One, in your abounding goodness, guide your congregation, only an exalted one. Turn to your people who are mindful of your holiness. Accept our supplication and hear our cry. You who know the secret thoughts, blessed be the name of the glory of his kingdom forever and ever. Master of the universe, you have commanded us through Moses, your servant, to count Sefirat HaOmer in order to purify us from our evil and uncleanliness. As you have written in your Torah, you shall count for yourself from the day following the day of rest, from the day on which you bring the Omer as a wave offering. The counting shall be for 7 full weeks. Until the day following the 7th week shall you count 50 days. So that the souls of your people Israel may be cleansed from their defilement. Therefore, may it be your will, Lord our God and God of our fathers, that in merit of the Sefirat HaOmer, which I counted today, the blemish that I have caused in the Sefirat Had Shebei Netzach be rectified, and I may be purified and sanctified with supreme holiness. May abundant bounty therefore be bestowed upon all the worlds. May it rectify our nefesh, ruach, and neshama from every baseness and defect, and may it purify and sanctify us with your supernal holiness. Amen. Sema. I think you can tell from the Sefirot mentioned, Had, etc., at the end of this, that this is deeply, deeply tied to Kabbalah, which brings us back to Lag BaOmer. On the 33rd day of the Omer, the great sage and mystic rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai passed away. His grave is still visited in Meron, Israel, on this day. Rabbi Shimon was a 2nd century rabbi. And if you want to think how amazingly far back this is before Christianity was actually formalized as a religion. This is a 2nd century rabbi who taught Kabbalah to the masses, the first rabbi to do this. He is the author of the great mystic work, the Zohar, which is considered the classic text of Kabbalah. There is really no one book of Kabbalah. I know it's sometimes referred to as just a book. But sometimes, often, when people are referring to that, the book of Kabbalah, they mean Zohar. It's a huge area of study, and really, Zohar is the first source to go to. Omer, the counting of the Omer, is further tied to Kabbalah in that the 49 days represent the 49 aspects of man. Each day we count, we pray that we can elevate one facet of ourselves. It's not like Lent. We don't choose an aspect of ourselves to improve or select something to sacrifice. Let me do something traditionally Jewish and tell a story to illustrate the point. And I think I remember that this one comes from Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. A group of gentlemen had gathered to go fishing, and one man made an ill-thought-out racist comment to another who was a minority. The second man said, "What?" and cocked his head as if he couldn't hear him. The first man repeated himself, and again the second man said, "What?" this time cupping his ear. Again the man repeated himself, and again the man said, "What?" This went around a full few times until the first man realized what he was saying and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, never mind." The second man, in refusing to hear what the first had said, was holding him up to a higher standard and waiting for him to catch up. And the Omar is a little bit like God, holding us up to the standard of a people worthy to receive Torah and then waiting for us to catch up. And it just occurred to me that Jesus is known for telling stories to get his point across. If for some reason these things click on me a little bit late. And he got that from his Jewish background. I think it's funny sometimes. I'm dating a Catholic. And every so often I have to explain to him why Jesus is saying or doing something, because Jesus is just being quintessentially Jewish in a way John just doesn't understand. And it kind of amuses him when I tell him. In many points, Jesus is directly teaching, for example, against Hillel. Hillel was quite conservative. And Jesus was quite liberal in his teachings. And the two addressed each other's points, but in an indirect sort of manner. They both expected their audience would be familiar with the works of the other. It's really good to read the entire debate. If you want to read some of the writings of Hillel, I suggest turning to Talmud. There's a lot of that stuff all of it pretty much is in the Talmud. But it's interesting to see how the two engage each other in this debate. But that should wrap us up for this time. I wish you a happy Shavuot. You can find my new website if you're interested at ivyreisner.com. I've rebuilt that too. You can find my Twitter feed at twitter.com/ivyr. I'll link to that in the show notes, or you can call our voice line at 206-338-2703. I absolutely would love to hear from you guys. I'll play anything on the show. And until next time, be blessed and keep knitting.